It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6. We're going to begin reading with the fourth verse today, Romans chapter 6, verse 4. So please open your Bibles to that text, and you're going to enjoy the study today, I'm sure, as well as I will. And so please that you turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 4. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341, and again, that's Parkview Bible Church. Like to call us by phone, 217-847-2717. If you would like to visit our website, it's parkviewbiblechurch.org, parkviewbiblechurch.org. And you would, I know, enjoy the many studies we have there. Our Constitution is there. The Plan of Salvation is there. So please take a look at that and enjoy that study. If you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either will work just fine. I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. And we're in Romans chapter 6. We're going to begin reading with the fourth verse. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, we'll end there at the 13th verse of the reading, and please, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together today and enjoy this time. Please just show us your way and will, and give us your direction and give us your strength today. We need your physical strength. You need to give us physical strength and also a spiritual strength and guidance and direction and leadership. And so please, dear Lord, that you would do that today. And we just ask that you'll direct us each and every day. Bless us now with this word. Touch every heart, those that are lost, that they will come to know you as their Savior, and those that are saved, that they'll grow and become stronger each and every day. And so please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we've talked about this, the baptism into the body by the Holy Spirit. We share in his death, burial, and resurrection. And this fourth verse kind of opens that up for us. The second we believe, that we become believers, we are buried with him. We died, we're buried, and we rose again. We become part of that. And it's because we are baptized into his body. Believers sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we've looked at this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Last week we were together. We need to understand that the head of the church is Christ. The foundation of the church is Christ. The church is the body of Christ, and believers are the members of that body. Therefore, positionally, we sit together with Christ in heavenly places now. Death, burial, and resurrection. What an opportunity that we have. This is not talking about water baptism here. This is talking about the baptism of the Spirit, being immersed in the Spirit. And the day you get saved, the day you're born again, is the day that that takes place. What a glorious and wonderful day that is. And so please that you enjoy that experience, knowing that the Holy Spirit lives within your heart. I hope that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, we have some verses of Scripture today that I would like to look up, and we're going to start in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Now, we find that Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." That's what we were talking about. Now, once again, let's read that again. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, let's just back up here a little bit further, because 37 is a great verse. "Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, Repent, turn to Jesus, call upon the Lord Jesus, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, what a wonderful opportunity. Repent. Repent. Now, let's look at Mark, the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Now, we are going to begin to talk about the opportunity of water baptism, immersion, as far as the baptism is concerned, because it is so important that you are immersed in the Spirit, and that happens when you call upon the Lord Jesus. As the scripture verse said here, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Now, you'll notice it didn't speak of the baptism, because you see, baptism is something, water baptism, immersion, that is what we have the opportunity of enjoying when we come by faith to the Lord Jesus, because nobody can see in our heart, but we know in our heart that we're born again. So we follow with this baptism, this physical act, to show people what's happened in our hearts. It's got nothing to do with your salvation, as verse 16 of chapter 16 of Mark clearly tells us. Now let's go back to Acts chapter 8, verse 36. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. "And as they went on their way, they went into a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Now, we've got to back up on this just a little bit. We can't just jump right into this verse of Scripture. And again, we are talking about this water baptism. And as we come here, know ye not. And I'm back in Romans chapter 6. Verse 3, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of life." We also come up to verse 5 in Romans chapter 6, verse 5. "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Now, as we look at these scripture verses, again, we have such a beautiful example of water baptism. To be baptized in the Spirit is to accept Jesus Christ. You have the Spirit. He come into your heart in the person of the Holy Spirit. Then is the time that you follow and show people on the outside, that you show people what has happened, and you are born again. You need to come by faith to Jesus. And then after coming by faith to Jesus, then is when you follow in baptism, water baptism, to show people publicly what's happened. And here in Acts chapter 8 is a beautiful example of that. Now, we're going to kind of back up here just a little bit, and we're going to really take a good look at this scripture verse. And I think if we would move to about verse 26 of chapter 8, and we're going to start there. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south unto a way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. So Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired that Philip would, that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare this generation? For his life is taken from the death. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. Now, you've got to see this to this point, because a lot of people don't study the Old Testament. But the Old Testament is a beautiful picture book of what's to come. And what's to come is the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth, to be born, and then to live a perfect life, and then to die on the cross to take our sins away, be buried, and rose again. He is our Savior, living Savior. And even these Old Testament scriptures, look at this, like a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. That's speaking of the Lord Jesus, and Philip knew that. You see, do you know that when you're studying the Old Testament, that is a book all about Jesus? You need to see the Lord Jesus. You need to enjoy the study of the Old Testament, and then you'll really understand the New, but not until you're born again. You see, the Ethiopian eunuch had been to church. He'd been to Jerusalem. And on his way back, he was a very religious man, but he undoubtedly heard these scripture verses read, which was very common when they would come to Jerusalem. It may have been one of the feasts that a good Jew, even though he was a proselyte, he was an Ethiopian, he wasn't a Jew, but he had come to be a Jew, because that's the only way you could know God. Well, the problem is the Jews did not lead them to Jesus, the Savior. The Jews led them to their religion. That's what they did. They led them to their religion, to their traditions. And that was so sad, because it did not allow them to come and know the new birth, the opportunity of knowing Jesus as their Savior. Now, we're studying in and looking at the book of Acts, and as we're studying in another study, as we're looking at that, why we're right at Pentecost. We're right at the birth of the church, and that's when the Holy Spirit comes to indwell the believers. To indwell the believers is what a wonder is a wonderful opportunity that we have now in the church age that the Old Testament didn't have. The Holy Spirit would come down, convict the heart, and then they would have the opportunity of the Holy Spirit to be up on them from time to time, but was not indwelling them. But as we look here, and so we find that this Ethiopian eunuch was really burdened, and he stopped his chariot along the road, and he asked, he was sitting there reading, and the Lord knew that. And I want you to make a point here that anyone that desires to know the Lord Jesus, God's going to send someone to you to tell you about Jesus. We have a perfect example right here. This man wanted to know more. He was really burdened, his heart, he was under conviction, he wanted to know, what was this talking about? And Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? And of course he didn't, because he wasn't born again. And he said to him, well, if you're not born again, he said to him, would you like me to come and explain it to you? And he asked him up into his chariot, and he began to tell him, Philip did, about Jesus. And this Ethiopian eunuch accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior that day. And as they were, let me just continue reading here. And as we start down at verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest thou, speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You see that? Isn't that beautiful? I hope you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I hope you've trusted Him today. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? I believe that Philip explained everything to him, that you need to trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And once you've come by faith to the Lord Jesus, then it's important that you follow in a baptism to testify to these folks that are around. You see, the eunuch wasn't by himself. He was a very wealthy man. He was in charge of all the treasury of the Queen of Ethiopia. So he was a very wealthy man. So he had quite a group with him. And what an opportunity to testify of what he had done. He had trusted the Lord Jesus as his Savior, and he was asking, what should I do now? He said, there's water. What hindereth me to be baptized? In verse 37 of Acts chapter 8, verse 37, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You see, he confessed, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. And when they were come up out of that water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. What a glorious day that was. You see, the Ethiopian eunuch desired to know. God delivered a man to tell him. And that man's name was Philip. And he visited, he told him about Jesus. The Ethiopian eunuch said, I believe. And so they stopped, went down into the water. And as baptism is proper, he laid him down into the water. You see, it shows the old man standing first. And then you go down into the water, that picture's dying with Christ. And then being buried with Christ and then coming back up out of the water pictures the resurrection. What a glorious day it is to trust in the Lord Jesus and walk with Him each and every day. So you see, as we look at this scripture text here, we go from being baptized by the Spirit, born again, you get the person of the Holy Spirit, and then we take a look at the baptism of the physical baptism to show people what has taken place in your heart. So you see, it's very important that you see the Lord Jesus Christ, that you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I hope that you have trusted in Him. Now, going through these scripture verses, again, we're going to talk about this water baptism. We have been joined to Christ. We have been joined to Christ by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are baptized into his death. We submit ourselves to water baptism, which symbolizes, as I just said, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in our place. Jesus has taken our place, but we become a part of that because of what we know, because of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's such a joy to testify of that. Now, if we look here in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, once again, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Repent and be baptized. We read in Mark, it says, "Believe and be baptized." But if you are not baptized, you're not lost. You need to believe, because if you believe not, you're damned, you're condemned. The Ethiopian eunuch, as we have just read, asked the questions, "What hindereth me to be baptized?" And if you believe in the Lord Jesus, now let's give that testimony. And so what wonderful verses of Scripture that we read in Acts chapter 2, in Mark chapter 16, and the eunuch here in Acts chapter 8. Now, this water baptism, I want to make that very clear, is not essential for salvation. It's not any part of saving us. We are saved, we're born again by faith, not by some physical act or some work that we can do. Jesus does the saving. He died on the cross, took our sins away. We just need to believe in him that he is our Savior. And water baptism is an outward expression, but it's got nothing to do concerning our salvation. It testifies that we are born again. That's what it does. It testifies that we are born again. As we look at the fifth verse, it again now in Romans chapter 6, verse 5, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Since we are one with Jesus in his death, we will also be with him in his resurrection. What a glorious promise that is. In the likeness of his death, the Scripture says, "For if we be planted together in the likeness of his death." This baptism, we are professing publicly that we know Jesus as our Savior. So we are also united because of in the likeness of his death. We are also in the likeness of his resurrection. That's what the baptism is. We are saved, born again. But when we're baptized and go down into the water, it's the likeness of his death. And coming up out of the water is the likeness of his resurrection. Our immersion from the watery grave is to walk in the newness of life. And what a wonderful opportunity we have to walk each day. And if you look at the end of verse 4, we see, "Even so we also should walk in the newness of life." What an opportunity we have as a born-again believer to walk with the Lord Jesus and serve the Lord Jesus. When we are born again, old things pass away and all things become new. I'm going to read again verse 4 and verse 5. "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Newness of life. True believers are in Christ, and Christ is in the believer. We can't hardly fathom that. True believers are in Christ, and Christ is in the believer. in the person of the Holy Spirit. No one can share in Christ's resurrection except he first die. Now, I'm not talking physical death. I'm talking trusting in Jesus. We go through this death with Jesus. We become part of his death, as we've just talked about. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So you see, we have to die first, not a physical death, but we need to trust in the Lord Jesus and understand that by coming by faith to Jesus, we have taken on the part of his death. And that also then allows us the resurrection to a new life. And that's the result of dying to the world with Christ. Jesus died to the world. He died in our place. We need to come by faith to him and trust in him. When we do that, the Lord Jesus Christ, when we call upon him, believe in him, understand that we're an old, rotten, ugly sinner, and we need Jesus. We need to be saved. And if we need to be saved and need to be born again, it's because you're lost, and you realize that you're dead in your trespasses and sins. And so you see, in order to trust in, share in his resurrection, we need to first die to self. We need to turn around, go and call upon the Lord Jesus. The resurrection to a new life is the result of dying to the world with Christ. We are buried in order to be raised. And we're going to see that in John chapter 12, verse 24. We are buried in order to be raised. John chapter 12, verse 24. John chapter 12, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. I've preached many funerals using that verse of Scripture. You see, you take a kernel of corn and you can leave it, and unless it's buried in the ground, it abideth alone. But if it die, then it bringeth forth fruit. And it's the same way with us. We need to die in Christ, with Christ, be a part of that. And then we will come alive, just like a plant. When you plant that seed, it's hard to imagine. And when you, if you would dig up that old seed, if you dig that up and you look at that old rotten kernel under the ground, you need to do that sometime. I hope if you're involved with the farm, if you're in city, why, you've probably never seen this. But if you dig down through the dirt, and you'll find amongst the roots of this corn plant, this magnificent corn plant that brought 100-fold of produce out of that dead seed, you'll still see the old shell, the old rotten seed. It died and gave life. What a beautiful opportunity we have to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. By us coming by faith, we become and enjoy that death with him, because we have died with him, and we also then are raised with him. As we look back now at Romans chapter 6, verse 6, knowing this, and again, verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And that old corn plant is a perfect example of that. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The old man. We're going to start with that next time we're together. We're going to talk about the old man and what happens to the old man when we're born again. What an opportunity we have to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. please trust in Jesus today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?